Last week, John Curtis finished the last in our series and of looking at Matthew and the first few chapters of Matthew. And what was regarded as last week was most probably one of the hardest sermons to speak on regarding divorce. And I know from a couple of people that saw me, they were very happy with the way John and the way God gave that message to John to each and every one. One comment was that it's the first time I've ever heard a sermon where on divorce where I've gone away and felt comfortable. And that was so wonderful. And I think the next hardest thing to speak on is this one, giving. And I think the next hardest one after that, well, we can go down a long list. But giving is not an easy one to speak on. However, we're going to have a look at it this morning. More than 2,300 Bible verses talk about wealth and possessions. 11 out of 39 of the parables Jesus discussed was on money. We give money to the things that we most value, and oftentimes things that are seem to be either temporary or fleeting. A typical budget reveals that we value our homes, transportation, and entertainment. What we give to the church is quite often indicative of the longing we have for the glory of God. The problem is that most of us have also developed habits that don't align with our goals. We need to recognize that our society is being gripped by greed. We need to look at ourselves and no one else. Believe it or not, our Christianity started off in a very philosophical way. And still, philosophies are around quite prevalent. And back in Jesus' day, and even still now, the Greeks said, be wise, know yourself. Rome said, be strong, discipline yourself. Epicureanism, which is, that's the absence of pain. So it says that the absence of pain is the greatest pleasure, and it also advocates a very simple life. So Epicureanism said, be sensuous, enjoy yourself. Philosophy, be confident, assert yourself. Materialism says, be satisfied, please yourself. Pride says, be superior, promote yourself. Humanism, be capable, believe in yourself. Christianity says, be a servant and give of yourself. Almost totally the opposite. One of the great people down through the ages was Florence Nightingale. At 30, Florence Nightingale wrote in her diary this, I am 30 years of age, the age at which Christ began his mission. Now, no more childish things, no more vain things. Now, Lord, let me think only of thy will. Years later, near the end of her illustrious, heroic life, she was asked for her life's secret, and so she replied, well, I can only give one explanation. That is, I have kept nothing back from God. Certainly a wonderful life and a wonderful attitude. But what does God want your money? Why does he want your money? US psychiatrist Carl Menninger said, Our capacity to give is one of the best indications of mental health. I have known few generous people who were mentally ill. The fact remains, abundant living begins with abundant giving. You see, it can't be because, with God, it can't be because we can't outgive God. The thing is, God owns everything. Our consumer-oriented society pleasures us to place too much value on material things, to the point that our joy is based on how much we have. This approach to life results in chronic dissatisfaction. We never seem to have enough. Quite a number of years ago, I don't know whether it still happens, I forgot to look it up, but quite a number of years ago, there was in Sydney an exhibition every year at Darling Harbour entitled Big Boys Toys. It was the most expensive of all things going. And the rich and wealthy used to flock to it. I'm pretty sure John Curtis has done a lot more funerals than what I have over my time being in the funeral industry. However, of all the funerals that I've done, particularly graveside ones, and coffins that I've looked into, I've never seen a bunch of big bag of money or anything. There is only one thing I've ever seen in that grave that was extra, and that was a fellow who wanted his hat in. And so he got his hat that he used to go mustering in, went in. Other than that, I've never seen money. You can't take it with you. You'll also find that quite a lot of wealthy are very unhappy. They only live for what they can get. But you see, at the heart of Christianity is giving. Because look at it. For God so loved the world that he gave. What? He gave his one and only Son. We are never more like God and like Jesus when we give. Jesus also said in Matthew 20:28, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life. He gave. He gave of himself. Look at what is written in Malachi. Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Very wise from Malachi. We look at our reading for today from 2 Corinthians, Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, which was in Greece. And we see that there was an offering, the offering for the Jerusalem church. You see, in the late 40s, a famine swept across Judea, and Christians in Jerusalem were in need. The leaders of the Jerusalem church, James and Cephas and John, requested Paul to remember the poor, which very thing I, Paul, was also zealous in doing, we read in Galatians and Acts. Paul responded by encouraging Christians to contribute to an offering to provide for relief for the Jerusalem Christians. We notice that when we look at Jesus' words, when we look at Paul's words, and when we look at just at Malachi, we see that it is bound up a lot with agricultural type terms. Reaping, harvesting, all these sorts of things. You've got to understand in those days that this was an agricultural environment, an agricultural society. Therefore, Jesus and Paul's references to sowing, reaping, and all those things were images that people could understand of the day. It might be foreign to us who live in cities. Having had pretty much all my ministry in a rural and remote environment, they understood it very well. I had a niece who came up one time to visit us, and she said, why are you always concerned, people here always concerned about weather and water? We have tanks. At the moment, those tanks are dry. I've got to go off, borrow one of the farmer's tankers, and go and fill up from a bore and then pump that into our own tank so we can have a drink of water and have a shower. That's why we're always concerned about weather and water and those sorts of things. So very much an agriculture. And when you look at the environment that they were living in, yes, it's a very dry environment. Very much dry around that area of Israel, around that some of that area, that lower areas of Greece and those sorts of places, and into Turkey, there can be some very, very dry areas. Anyway, don't get me started on that. I'll go on forever. So, how should we give? There's going to be seven of these altogether. Firstly, let us give worshipfully. Cain brought some tithes of fruit of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Abel brought some fat portions from the firstborn. Abraham also gave tithes and offerings. Noah sacrificed to the Lord. Moses worshipped God certainly and involved offerings up and sacrifices to God. Paul viewed the financial support sent from the Philippians to him as a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. If you were to read through the Old Testament, you would certainly see just how central giving was to the worship of God. Cain and Abel, Moses, and so many others. The thing is, under the Moses covenant, it was a very complex giving. There were so many different offerings they had. They had burnt offerings. They had grain offerings. They had incense offerings. They had drink offerings. They had so many others that just went on and on. And that all had to be done in the correct way. You see, when you give in support to the advancement of God's kingdom, when you give, say, to the building and upkeep of the church, when you give to support the gospel ministry, it is an act of worship. So therefore, if we are in an act of worship, we need to give worshipfully. The next thing we need to do is to give sacrificially. Each one of us must give as he has decided in his heart. not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, concerning the collection of for the saints, as I direct the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up, as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. This is Paul saying it to the Corinthians. And from Luke, we see Jesus looked up and saw that the rich putting their gift into the offering box. He saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they all contribute out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, gave all she had to live on." All she had to live on. She gave of herself. One of the questions that people ask is, if I am to give worshipfully, how much should I give? I think the best way to answer that question is to say that you should give it sacrificially. And don't get me wrong, I am not in favour of requiring a tenth in some sort of legalistic way. Notice the way that Paul talks about giving. Each one is to give as he has decided in his heart, and as he may prosper, which means according to the prosperity and your own ability. Jesus is saying the same thing in Luke. It is according to your prosperity and ability. Some of us have been blessed quite abundantly. Some of us have not. Yet we are to give what is God puts on our heart. Also, we are to give faithfully. Our giving should be faithful, as in consistent. Our giving should be faithful, as in regularly. Not, oh, I'll put it in this week, but I forgot this next week. Or, I forgot to bring it the following week. Our giving should be faithful, as in our hearts should be full of faith. Look what is said in 2 Corinthians from our reading today. Remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. You see, God has distributed blessings to each and every one of us, whether you think so or not. As I mentioned in the prayer area early on, we have been blessed so abundantly in this nation. I have lived for short times in nations where they have nothing. And I mean absolutely nothing but a piece of plastic to live under. I've worked in those environments before. And you come back to Australia and literally you almost hop off the aircraft and you bow down and you kiss the ground, because we are so blessed in this country. Look what else Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9 from our reading. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies the need to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce of thanksgiving to God. You see, if we give faithfully, consistently, regularly, and full of faith, it will produce a thanksgiving to God. We are also to give to the promotion of Christ's kingdom. All things are from God and are for God. God is greater than either your needs or your fears. But giving is not an end in itself. Here I'm simply to emphasize that when you give, the money does not vanish into thin air, but has an impact on the kingdom of God. The elders and deacons of this church have a responsibility to use the tithes and offerings wisely and appropriately. Budgets have been established. Budgets are maintained. And I can tell you now, our brilliant treasurer certainly does that. They're maintained that reflect God-given mission to the church. Just as the priests of the Old Covenant were to use offerings for the people for the establishment, promotion, and maintenance of the church and the worship for God, we are to do the same. You see, the elders and the deacons of the church here are to manage the monies of the church so that God's temple is indeed built up through the proclamation of His word, all through the power of His Holy Spirit. You see, our mission is the Great Commission, to go out and spread God's word to everyone. The monies that are given to the church are used for the accomplishment of that mission. The point I'm making is that the kingdom work does cost money, and it is your giving that makes it possible. Things get done. Practical things get done. We need to keep lights on. We need so many other things just to be here. Some most probably don't realize, but we give a fair bit to missions in this church. If you want to find out, then see our treasurer and you'll find out, or see the missions coordinator. They'll tell you how much goes to missions within this church, both locally and overseas. Things get done. Which brings me to, we are to give willingly. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. You should not and are not to be forced to give by the church. The church does not send you a bill saying this is how much you owe. It might sound funny. The church does not send you a bill of how much you owe. You might be horrified. I have known of churches where people come into membership in the church through how much they give. And you've got to keep that up. They look at it week in, week out. Your giving is between you and God. Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We are to give willingly. And along with that, as we see there, we are to give cheerfully. Once again, as we see from our reading this morning, God loves a cheerful giver. I hope that you are blessed when you give. I hope that it brings a sense of satisfaction to you to know that God, by His grace, has enabled you to work hard, to earn a living, and to bring a portion of what you have earned to Him as an offering. A sweet smelling aroma. Giving should result from inward resolve, not from impulsive or casual decision. Once the amount to be given has been determined, as Paul says, the gift should be given cheerfully. It is not a matter of, as you go on and do that transfer on your bank from your account to the church account, or as you put your money in the boxes, it's not a matter of how much have I got left now? No, it is to be cheerfully. If it is convicted by God on you, then you'll most probably find it certainly will be cheerfully, willingly. And lastly, let us give to the glory of God. We ought to give to the glory of God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. We are not to give for the glory of ourselves. As I mentioned earlier on, all things belong to God. All things are from God and are for Him. So where does that leave us? Well, as usually with most of my messages, I leave you with something practical to take away. This one is in the form of a challenge. Firstly, am I thinking about money the right way? Do we put God first, or do we put money first? Prayerfully consider your giving. Prayerfully consider your giving. Am I giving worshipfully, sacrificially, faithfully, and with the furtherance of God's kingdom in mind? Am I giving willingly, cheerfully, and to the glory of God? Do I see all things as coming from God and myself as a steward? I'll give you another little one. Many years ago, we had a Land Rover Discovery. We had that because we had a large van that we used to do outback work with to properties, part of our ministry. Anyhow, our son, eldest son, lived in Sydney, and we were going to go down and see him. Anyhow, as was quite common, I, having driven quite a lot during my life, we went down during the night. I don't mind driving, or I didn't then, driving at night. And so we set out from where we lived up on the Darling Downs. We didn't have the caravan, it was just the vehicle. We were just going down to visit our son for about a week or 10 days and then back again. So it was the middle of winter, and so we set off for about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and off we went down the back way, the New England. I'd driven pretty much all the night, including when we went through Gyra, stopped there to have a quick bit of a leg stretch and everything else, hopped out of the car and here's these little bits of sleet. That's how cold it was. Anyhow, kept on going. We got down to Singleton, and I said to Diane, my wife, oh, can you just drive for a short time just to around Richmond, Windsor, so that I can just have a little bit of a rest, and then I'll take over. And that stage, it would have been daylight, and I can then go through Sydney as I know the way to get to our son's place. No worries at all. So she'd had little cat naps on and off during the time. We set off through the Putty. For those that know the Putty Road, it's quite a windy sort of road, and there's nothing in between Singleton and pretty much when you get to Windsor, Richmond. Anyhow, it was most probably about halfway through that, and it was something like about 3:30 in the morning. I'm having my little cat nap in the passenger seat, pillow propped up, and next thing, I woke up with a start. All this crashing and banging and carrying on. And what's going on? Anyhow, things stopped. Where are we? I looked around and there's trees above us. There's no road in front. And I had a couple of cuts on me. We were in a 2 metre ditch. We left the road doing about 100 k's an hour. Anyway, to cut a long story short, at the end of that, people said, oh, aren't you sort of upset the fact that, and the car was totaled. The only panel that did not have a dent on it was the back tailgate. Even the roof was smashed in. Anyway, people said, aren't you upset? And I said, well, I am a little. It was a lovely vehicle. Cost us a lot of money. We needed it to pull the caravan because the caravan was a very heavy caravan. We had a lot of extra things on it, extra water, generator set, all these different things. But I said, you know what? Even though it's going to cost me money to replace it, it didn't belong to me. God provided me with the ability to buy that vehicle. God provided me for me to use that in service for Him. If that's the way it ended up, then who am I to complain? We still have our lives. We are still blessed that we still can walk out of that accident. Everything belongs to God. It doesn't belong to us. He who did not spare his own son. Oh, sorry, I missed one. Make sure that whatever you give, whether it be small or great, whether it be 1% or 50%, that your heart is right before God. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Lastly, this young looking fellow here, Martin Luther. Martin Luther said, a religion that gives nothing costs nothing and suffers nothing is actually worth nothing. Some very wise words by Martin Luther. A religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, suffers nothing, is worth nothing. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, Help us to realize that all things belong to you. All things are yours. All things are in service for you. You belong to everything. We belong to you. Father, as we look at this area of giving, we must look back to your Son, because you gave your one and only Son. You gave him to the world. Even though he was blackened by sin, you did that for a purpose. If you are willing to do that, then how much more should we give? We give of ourselves, we give of our tithes and offerings, that we give back to you. It is only right that we give what is yours back to you. We are only the stewards of it. We don't own it. You own it. Father, help us to come into a right relationship. Help us to come into that relationship with you, where between you and ourselves, we work out how much you want us to give, how you want us to give. And Father, may we do that in the right attitude. As we leave here now, help us to be very mindful this week as we go, that we, as we keep in prayer to you, as we communicate with you each and every day, that you put on our hearts and our minds just how much we are to give, how we are to give. And we pray that you will guide us in that cheerfully, worshipfully, sacrificially, and all the others. We ask this in and through the name of your dear Son, Jesus. Amen.